A tiger dies and leaves his leather coat, leather jacket. A man dies and leaves his name. This is an old Asian proverb showing how important honor is for ancient Asian people. Without a doubt, how other people remember us after we die is something that is important for all of us. This afternoon, we will take a look at a man who meets his death, and that is Abraham, a well-known figure in the Bible. I'm sure that you have heard of Abraham and his life, and you know that his life was full of ups and downs. And this afternoon, we will spend some time examining the last days of this man of God. As we do so, what can we take away from his life? Which lessons do we remember and learn from his life? Because we are Christian, it should not be the same as the Asian proverb. Our name and honor are certainly important, yet, as Christians, there is something more than these. Think back on sermons or Bible study you had about Abraham. Which word did you hear over and over again regarding Abraham? Which word does it come to your mind thinking of Abraham? I think it would be safe to assume that the repeated word indicates something significant and representative of Abraham. And if I was to choose one word to summarize the life of Abraham, it would be the word promise. The theme of promise continues and develops throughout the book of Genesis and also other books in the entire Bible. When we think of the relationship between God and Abraham, this word promise should come to mind. Today, through Abraham's death, the last minutes of his life, we will consider God's promise. And I humbly ask you this question. Christians, as one who hold God's promise, where are you headed? Where are you headed? First of all, consider your life in this world. Consider your life in this world. According to verse 7 to 8 of chapter 25, Abraham lived 175 years and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. God made this promise with Abraham in Genesis 15:15, where he said, "You shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." A good old age. What does a good old age mean? The Korean Bible, only I have here, translates this verse in this way. Abraham would live a long life. Long life. Furthermore, in the Septuagint, the word good is translated from gera, which means old age. However, listen to the following numbers. 205, 218, 213, 239, 464, 233, 438, 600, and 950. It's not mathematics class. But the Bible tells how long Abraham's forefathers lived from Terah to Noah. Surprisingly, Noah, Abraham's 10th generation grandfather, was alive when Abraham was born. And Shem, his 9th grandfather, was still alive when Abraham died. So, do you really think Abraham died at a good old age, long age? When you compare the length of his life to that of his forefathers, do you think he lived a long life? I would say no. I submit to you that the meaning of a good old age is not simply living long life, but rather living well before God. It's not the length of life, but the quality of life. Scripture tells about long life. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Deuteronomy 30:20, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. As we read, the Bible writers tell us to fear God, love God, and draw near to God first. Then they talk about long life. We should remember that God does not want us to live long, but he wants to see how we live before him. If someone who was upright and feared the Lord died in a young age, he had good life. On the contrary, if someone who did not know God and was in sin and misery lived for 100 years or 200 years, he does not have the true blessing of long life. Think about Genesis 17, the chapter delineating God's covenant with Abraham. This chapter begins with the following clause: I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. This is the life God wants from Abraham. And this is the life God wants of you. This is truly what a good life means in this life. When Abraham's oldest servant was looking for a wife for Isaac, he met Rebecca and said, "Blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master." A life where God has never forsaken his mercy and his truth is a good life. A life of walking before God and being blameless. And we should be also reminded that God's mercy, kindness, his never forsaken mercy, is revealed through the covenant of grace by the Redeemer, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not able to be blameless and walk before God without Jesus Christ. Our good life starts from Jesus Christ. Second, consider your descendants, your covenant children. Consider your covenant children. God promised Abraham descendants several times, but Abraham probably did not fully comprehend what God meant when he promised that he would be a father of all nations. He may not have grasped the whole picture of God's promise as we understand it today. in his lifetime, Abraham did not see his descendants expand as the stars in the sky as God has promised. Now, consider the genealogy of the tribes before and after today's passage in chapter 25. And notice the order of description. With Abraham's death at the center, the Bible recites the name of his descendants. Yes, God's promise with Abraham was fulfilled. God was faithful. Abraham indeed became the father of all nations. Furthermore, through him, our Lord Jesus Christ was born to save people. Please also notice what Abraham did for his son, Isaac, the son of promise. Abraham let other sons go away from his promised son in the beginning of chapter 25, so that there was no dispute among the sons. Even though he didn't know God's plan for Isaac, Abraham wanted to keep God's promise by protecting his son Isaac faithfully and sincerely until the last moment of his life. Then, in the verse 20, after Abraham's funeral, the Bible records God blessed his son Isaac. We sometimes mistakenly think that God blessed many of his people in the Bible. However, the expression God blessed so-and-so is found only twice before Genesis 25. This expression was first used for Noah and his sons in Genesis after the great flood, and only second here in verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. God blessed Isaac. Blessing from God is never ordinary. Rather, it's very special. God blessed Isaac, the son of Abraham, for the sake of his promise. This is what Abraham wanted. No one here wants their children to walk away from God. We want God to bless our children and our children's children. God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So we are in covenant with God. And we are beneficiaries of his blessing through the generation. We are blessed because God is committed to keeping his promise with us and our children. And this is why we call our children covenant children. We are the recipients of the very same promise which Abraham had from God. However, what's the blessing we should talk here? What blessing are you asking for your children? Romans 15:29 says, I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of blessing of the gospel of Christ. The blessing of the gospel of Christ. This will be a true blessing. So we should remember that the blessing comes from the gospel of Christ, and that is the blessing from generation to generation. Please, faithfully bring the gospel of Christ to your covenant children. Furthermore, the place, Lahai Roi, which Isaac dwelt after Abraham died, brings great insight to us. Lahai Roi is the place where God met Hagar and Ishmael when they were dying And the meaning of the rawhide robe is wells of him leading and seeing me. The well of him that live and see me. God sees and is with those who he blesses. Also, God offers living waters from his well to his blessed one. Isaac was there by God's grace. Like so, Jesus Christ became the only true provider of the fountain, of the water of life. What he provides can't compare to any other inheritance from man. In the Gospel of John, we read, there is a conversation between Jesus and a Samaritan woman who came to draw water from the well which Father Jacob gave. However, Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. In this world, anything we give our children could be rotten. Any worldly things. But if we lift our children to our Lord, he may give them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. They will be never thirsty. Again, faithfully bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the fountain, who is giving fountain of water in everlasting. Lastly, consider where you are headed after death. Lastly, consider where you are headed after death. Abraham expected to enter the promised land, the land of Canaan. He waited and waited, but died before he entered the promised land. Nevertheless, he did not forget the promise of God. Abraham could not enter the land of Canaan while he was alive, but he and his wife Sarah were buried in the land of promise. This proves Abraham's faith. What's more, our God, who is the promise keeper, teaches us where the true Canaan is. In verse 8, it is stated that Abraham was gathered to his people. In other words, he went to his fathers. The place of his people and his fathers was not just a visible place like the land of Canaan, but it was the place they gathered in heaven. Hebrews 11:10 says, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God brought Abraham into the real Canaan, where Abraham longed for, the place we too should long for. And that place is perfect because God himself is its builder and the maker. None of the places cannot compare to real Canaan because God himself is the builder and the maker. Yet, the focal point of God's promised land is Jesus Christ. Just as God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt later, so God delivers all his people out of the estate of sin and misery and brings them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. By the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. through Him, and in Him we are promised to reach the eternal place. Do you remember and know where you were before you met Christ, and where you are now, and where you are headed? We no longer belong to the world, but to Him because of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and His words. And now, with the eyes of faith in Christ, we Christians are heading to the real Canaan. Hebrews 9:15 states, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance." God is the giver, keeper, and accomplisher of the promise to bring us into the promised land, the land we are longing for. As we conclude, I want to share with you that there is one difference between the Korean culture and the American or Western culture in the way cemeteries are considered. In Korea, cemeteries are considered as dark and scary place, full of ghosts and other unpleasant things. On the contrary, here in the States, at least from my experience, cemeteries are rather pleasant places, more like a park. Think of Forest Lawn Memorial Park near here. There are nice buildings found in beautiful and peaceful settings with well-paved paths and that welcome people. Back to my time at RPTS, I often walked around the cemetery next to Frick Park with a little companion, my baby. I went there with my baby, who at the time was less than 1 year old. Imagine this: graves and a baby's stroller. In a graveyard, people who have passed from this life to the next lie in the ground. And in the stroller, there is a little baby whose life has just begun. The beginning and the end of life meet. Someday, the baby will be buried just like those already in the grave. So what would be your prayer for this baby? Of course, that in this life, she will walk with God. You would also pray for her and the generation following her. But more importantly, prayers must be for her eternal life, her final destination, the place beyond the cemetery, the place of eternal Canaan, which is the kingdom of God. What will you pray for your life? What will you pray for your children's lives? The same thing. This sermon will be the last of the journey of Abraham. However, your life is an ongoing journey. You are in the middle of your journey. So, as you continue on your journey, do not forget God's promise. Remember and keep God's promise, because His promise is the anchor and direction of your life. And be eager to live a good life in Christ. And pray for God's blessing through Christ upon your children and children's children. And live this life with your heart set on the place where you will go and where we will see our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I ask you, Christian, as one who holds God's promise, where are you headed? Let's pray. Father, our God, you are promise keeper and accomplisher. Thank you that you gave your promise, and we hold your promise in this life. Please keep watching over our life and bless our children, and please strengthen our heart to long for the eternal place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.